Welcome to the next episode of Smithy U.S. History. Today's episode is the War of 1812. On the previous one, we sort of have wrapped up some of the things that happened after Washington's presidency. We go through John Adams briefly. We went through then the third president, Thomas Jefferson. And now we stand at the fourth president, who is still in the midst of these huge problems with France. And with France, it also is going to involve Great Britain, these two bitter, lifelong enemies. And so, fourth president, we're still dealing with these issues with France, and the problems are continuing to pile up. And finally, by 1812, James Madison, the guy who had written the Constitution, now in office as president, he is going to be the one to finally declare war. And we knew that we never really wanted to go to war, and we had been avoiding it as long as we could. But what happens is that in the midst of Britain dealing with Napoleon, now in France, and taking over big parts of Europe and fighting off all the different monarchies coming to attack him and France, that in the midst of this, Britain is acting up too. Britain is encouraging Native American attacks on the Western Front. And Britain is kidnapping both our ships, essentially stealing our ships, and kidnapping our sailors. That kidnapping is something that we call impressment. And impressment is not about impressing someone. It is about kidnapping them. And so it all adds up, and it becomes too many issues. And even though we know that Britain is much stronger, we again declare war on Great Britain. So 20 years previously, we had essentially defeated Great Britain 20, 30 years prior. And so we're going to end up calling this one the Second War of Independence or the Second Revolution, obviously. Now, we'll also get into why this war also gets the nickname the War of Bad Timing. There is some terrible timing associated with this war. I'll talk about that at the end of the podcast. And in talking about the bad timing, where we get this nickname, you'll also understand how bad communication was back then. So we'll deal with that one at the end of the podcast. But to recap, James Madison, the United States, finally enough is enough. We finally declare war on Great Britain. Not a smart move, but we're just that sick of it. So, having discussed the reasons, Native American attacks on the Western Front, kidnapping of our sailors, taking of our ships, war is on. One of the first elements of this war is that we are going to try to invade Canada again. We had tried this previously in the Revolution, it hadn't worked. We're going to try again in the War of 1812. Canada is part of Great Britain, and they are encouraging these Native American attacks from Canada. So why not try and take it, is the thought. It's a big territory. We might as well be ours. And they're attacking us from that place. So let's go up there and let's try to take it. When they get up to Canada, they will end up burning down Canada's parliament in the process that's unsuccessful to try to take it. But when they burn down Canada's parliament and they have to retreat back to the States, it's going to anger the British. The British will get back at us by landing outside of Washington, D.C., coming in with troops, and then they will burn down the White House, literally burn it to the ground. And so there's some great stories associated with this. We do know that James Madison, little 5'4" James Madison as president, ran out there and became the only president to ever be on the job as president and to lead an army into battle and ultimately retreat against the British coming into D.C. We know that his wife, Dolly, went and saved the painting of George Washington off the wall. She ran in, she got some stuff, including the George Washington painting, and it's literally preserved to this day, and we only have it because Dolly sort of risked, in some ways, her life to go back and get it. Also interesting, there is a story about some guys who were kind of making a fish. They were baking this thing in the oven, and they're yelling at them, "Hey, the British are coming, and they're in the White House, and they're ready to eat this fish." And one of the things that occurs is they literally get done, they pull the fish out of the oven, and they literally go out the back door with the fish just as the British are coming in the front door. They jump in a boat and paddle on down the Potomac River in D.C. and get out of harm's way. The British coming in through the other side of the house sit down and eat the rest of the meal that's laid out around the table. And when they're done eating that meal, they essentially go through the house and steal all kinds of things, and then they set fire to the White House. No one runs the British out of the White House. No one runs them out of D.C. What we know happened was there was actually a hurricane that came through that scattered the British from D.C. So we do sort of lose the nation's capital for a time. Much of the fighting takes place along the Great Lakes and the border with Canada, and we kind of hold our own. No one really wins this war clearly. We have some battles we win, we have some battles we lose. Baltimore will be the site of one of the British invasions after D.C., and this is where we get Francis Scott Key, who writes The Star-Spangled Banner. And Francis Scott Key is doing a prisoner exchange as a lawyer out on one of the ships. He looks out at the fort by night and sees them bombarding the fort with heavy rockets. And he knows when that flag comes down, it means that the British have taken the fort. So when you sing the Star-Spangled Banner, when you're at a sporting event and you hear it, you're listening to Francis Scott Key talk about how he's hoping that this fort hangs on against the British, and it does. So that's the Star-Spangled Banner, the Battle of Baltimore. The final battle of the war, and one of the things that's just pretty amazing, and this brings us to the bad timing issue. The final battle of the war is the Battle of New Orleans. And some very important things happen here at the Battle of New Orleans. Number one, the Battle of New Orleans takes place 1 month after the war is over. 1 month after it's over. But none of those guys who fought in it knew that the war was over, because no one back then had phones or telegraph lines or anything to get that information. So war's been over for a month, but these guys go ahead and invade. And it's going to result in 2,000 British casualties, somewhere around 100 Americans. And it's basically a huge victory for the American side. But the British would have never crossed that field if they knew the war was over. And instead, they die there on that field just a little bit south of the city of New Orleans at Chalmers Battlefield. Today, there's still a British flag that flies there. And as far as I understand it, it's the only British flag that still flies every day in this country, in some major place in America. But that is Chalmers Battlefield at the Battle of New Orleans. And most importantly, in some ways, it brings us back to, again, with that bad timing, it brings us back to the fact that the war, there were certain laws that were passed that were angering the Americans, and it pushed the Americans into the war. Well, the reality is that in 1812, America had basically said, we're going to declare war if you don't take these laws back. The British took the laws back. They had actually removed those laws. But again, because it takes a month worth of time for that news to cross the ocean, America goes ahead and declares war. So in some ways, the entire war didn't need to be fought, much less the Battle of New Orleans. So that illustrates some of the communication issues. Arguably most importantly, though, when this war is over, the guy who leads the Battle of New Orleans, Andrew Jackson, becomes famous, famous, famous. He will ride that popularity he gains all the way into the presidency, and he's going to be one of our craziest presidents. I'll talk to you more about him later in the class. But just know that it results in Jackson's ultimate presidency. And additionally, even though we didn't really win this war, it does result in a huge swelling of American pride. So If you have any questions, direct message me on Edmodo or send me an email at gsmitehey@ccisd.net. Thank you.